Right. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني تفقه قولي. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. It's awesome. Jazakumullah khairan. Welcome all. And let us begin. If I was to share this. From the video, yep. Oh, hold on. Oof. Okay. Yep, there we go. Okay. Salaam alaikum, everybody. Once again, let us get started. We are in the middle of our discussion of the basics of Arabic, okay? Basics of Arabic, inshallah, so that when we are now proceeding into studying something that is the advanced aspects of the Arabic grammar, we have a foundation, a base to stand on where, inshallah, we won't be confused. And continuing with that, we are going to start, firstly, with a true or false activity, okay? This is going to recap all the content that we had learned before, and it is also going to prepare a little bit of what is to come in our lesson today, bi-idhnillah. All right, folks. So what I'd like you to do is I'll read the question, and I want you to type true or false to that question. Ideally, if you are unable to type, then participate, you know, verbally. I don't know you're participating, but I hope you are. But I, inshallah, hope you can type, inshallah. And if you can't type all of it, just type T for true or F for false. Sounds good? All right, let's get going. We are the first question. Arabic has no unique, distinct features from English. True or false? False. Arabic has many distinct, unique features. It is written from right to left. It has letters that are peculiar in its alphabet. It has the thing that we call tashkil, the sounds that make, or the consonants that tell us what the sound is. Those are things that are unique about Arabic that we don't have in English. When you write its words in Arabic, the words join and the shapes of the words change. That doesn't happen in English. So all of those differences, plus a ton more, are what make the study of Arabic a study that requires patience to understand. It's a process, so we can slowly but surely unpack the different layers of the language, because there are quite a lot of differences between English and Arabic. Okay. Number two, the letter ba is a peculiar letter because it sits on another letter. The answer to that is false. Very good. I'm looking at people's responses as you are typing, mashallah. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. The answer, of course, is false. The correct answer is, the letter is, which one? Hamza. Hamza is a letter that sits on another letter. Sometimes it can come by itself, but often it sits on an alif or a waw or a ya, and that is why we are calling it a peculiar letter. And also, it behaves quite interestingly. The letter ta comes only comes at the end of a word and turns into a ha. True or false? Allah, the answers are false. Very, very good. Because the correct answer is, it is not the ta that's written like this. It is the ta marbuta, which is written as such. Where is my ta marbuta gone? Oh my goodness. There we go. Sorry. There is my ta marbuta. The letter or the sound a letter makes is due to its tashkil. True or false? Answer is true. It is, in fact, the tashkil that determines the sound. If you don't have the tashkil, it's just a letter. All right? The fatha, number five, is the a sound. The fatha is the a sound. True or false? The answer is true. Very good. If you're watching the recording, you're not able to see the chat. I'm trying to figure out why that's the case. I'm looking for a solution for that. But I am going to read out to you what the people are saying. And mashallah, people are participating as I'm asking these questions. People are typing the answers. That's awesome. Okay. Number six, the kasra is the E sound. The kasra is the E sound. True or false? That is true. Kasra is the E sound. The fatha, actually, this one, the fatha linguistically means to open. So when you say the A, the fatha, you're supposed to actually open your mouth and pronounce it like A, fatha, like A or Ba or Ta, hakada. Okay, like this. The kasra means, you know, linguistically, is to break something or to, you know, as we learn kasra when it's on a word or a noun, we consider that at the end of the noun to be in the state called jar. And we'll learn this, inshallah. And then that means to pull your, to pull something. So what the kasra is doing is it's kind of pulling your jaw down, like E, B, T, hakada. You know, like it just lowers your jaw. Okay, that's just a linguistic, just parallel from where the word, what the word means. The dhamma is the absence of the sound. True or false? False, 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 false. Excellent. The dhamma is indeed, that is false. The dhamma is actually the oo sound. The dhamma is the oo sound, and the absence of a sound of the sound is the sukoon. The dhamma actually linguistically means to round something. That's because if you pronounce the dhamma correctly, like oo, bu, tu, you round your lips, and that is how the sound is made. Sukoon is the absence of the sound. So this one is false. Number eight, a letter in Arabic can be doubled using tashkil. A letter can be doubled using tashkil. True or false? What do people say? True. So the correct answer here is yes, it can be doubled. If you remember when we were doing the quiz and we had the word mutahara, remember that? Mutahara. I will remind you if you forgot. And we had said that mutahara was actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters. The ha was doubled. Even though written as one, there were two has here. That was what we had discussed last time. Remember that? Yeah. So that was, that's where this comes from. The doubling of a letter in Arabic, even though you write it as one letter, this is used, or this is done using something called a shadda. And we are going to learn that today, inshallah. A tashkil like a fatha, can also be doubled in Arabic. Doubled as in you can have two fathas or two kasras or two dhammas. True or false? What do people think? People are saying true, 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 true. MashaAllah. And the correct answer, of course, is it is true. The correct answer is it is true. You can double a tashkil by having two fathas or two kasras or two dhammas. This is called tanween, and it's coming up today, inshallah. All right. Just like English has vowels, A, E, I, O, U, Arabic too has vowels. True or false? We have a mixed bag here. What do people say? The correct answer is true. Arabic also has vowels. We will learn about that today. Don't you worry. All right. The next one. There is another type of Hamza in Arabic. True or false? Yeah, people answering true, false. The correct answer is true. There is another type of Hamza, and he is, or it is, even more complicated than its predecessor. We'll learn about it. Don't you worry. Okay. So I'm having a problem here with this. Hold on, please. All right. So that's awesome, Mashallah. Thank you very much for participating, everybody. This allows us to quickly review a little bit of our topics while also setting the stage for the next piece of our study. Let us transition into tashkil. Okay, tashkil is so I'm just gonna try something here. Can you see how's the sharing now? Is it okay? Yeah, blurry. Okay, well, okay. Is it better now? Okay, great, perfect. All right, perfect. Tashkil. We had learned that the tashkil is a fatha, is the a sound. So you take the jim, you put the fatha on the jim, and it becomes ja. We take the kasra, you put it on the jim. It says g. You put the dhamma on the jim, ju. The fatha, the kasra, dhamma, this is tashkil. Haraka, as someone like Brother Musa is asking here, haraka is also, it's used, these words are used interchangeably. However, a haraka generally, like sukoon, for example, is the absence of a sound. Jim with a sukoon. That technically is not a haraka because it's an absence of a sound. You know what I mean? It's like zero sound. So haraka is the sound itself. That's why we're using the word tashkil. Tashkil includes everything that gives the letter its sound or takes its sound away, or merges the sounds together. Make sense? Sister Madhya, you're supposed to see the screen. I am sharing the screen here. I hope you can see it, okay? Okay, let us look at the next piece. The absence of the sound, by the way, on the sukoon is something that you can't pronounce this letter jim by itself. You're just stuck on it. You need another tashkil that is fatha, dhamma, or kasra. That is something that can give it its sound. This is the absence of sound. This will become important later in the class. So just keep this in the back of your mind. Okay. Tashkil is not another word for haraka. No, so tashkil includes the harakat, which is the fatha, dhamma, kasra. It also includes other things such as sukoon, ashadda, etc. And haraka generally is used to describe the length of something. Like I'm pronouncing it as one or two units of length, or four units of length, or six units of length. That is, you know, general usage. Wallahu alam. Okay. So the more precise terminology is the tashkil, and that's the one that we're utilizing here. The shadda. This is the first thing that we're gonna talk about today. That's new. The doubling of the letter. It's still one letter though. Even though in our previous study we had in the previous kahoot, I asked you to say, oh, the ta, ha, ha, ra, ta, marbuta. That was just me trying to point out to you that, in fact, the letter is double. But in reality, it's still one letter. And the doubling happens by the virtue of the shadda. That's the purpose of the shadda. Okay? It takes, along with itself, along with, you know, the shadda, it takes a fatha, a kasra, or dhamma on it as well. These are two things that have to go. It cannot just be by itself. It has to have a fatha, a kasra, or a dhamma on it. An example is the word zuwijat. You see the zai with the dhamma. The waw has a shadda. This W looking thing is the shadda. It also has a kasra on it. And you have a jim with a fatha and a ta with a sukoon. Zuwijat. The sound that is made is Zuwijat. As you can see, even in the transliteration, the W that's representing the waw is doubled. Zuwijat. Class starts at 8 a.m. Eastern time, so about 20 minutes ago. Okay, let's look at this ayah here. And let's do some practice on this ayah, bi-idhnillah. Okay, why is it a kasra on the waw? Okay, the shadda. It's the doubling of a letter, first thing. Secondly, it takes a fatha, a kasra, a dhamma on it. Both of these things have to be there. Make sense? Both of those things have got to be there. All right? Isn't it a fatha? Which one is it not a fatha? Ah, excellent question, Tajnina. Is this a... I don't know if you're brother or sister, forgive me. Shouldn't the kasra be written under the waw? Okay, now this is an excellent question. In the script that is popular in the subcontinent, South Asia and other parts of the world, I would imagine even Turkey and whatnot, they write the kasra under the letter always. Okay, the script that is a bit more popular in the Middle East and other Middle East, and you know, that's printed in Medina Al Munawwara, that often has the kasra at the right under the letter, right under the letter. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. However, what you need to check out is, and then the font that I'm using here, unfortunately, Microsoft Word puts it under the shadda. So what makes it a kasra isn't only that it's under the letter, but it's actually under the shadda itself. Okay, so that's a good question. Note, under The shadda equals kasra. Make sense? Excellent question. Thank you very much. These are the kind of questions we need to ask so that if there's any gaps in our understanding, they're addressed quickly bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, here is an ayah that we're going to study. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Okay? We have iyaka. This is what letter? What letter is this? It is the Hamza. Very good. It is a Hamza. And under the Hamza, what do we have? What's the tashkil on it? Kasra. Very good. Thank you very much. That is indeed a kasra. Okay. Now on the ya, you have a shadda. On the ya, you have a shadda. And on the shadda, you have a fatha. So the sound is iya.
Iyaka.
Do you see that? Iya. The doubling of this of the letter is prominent if you pay attention. Listen again, please.
Iyaka.
All right. I hope you heard iyaka. Now the ka, of course, is what does the ka have on it? The ka has a fatha on it. That's ka. All right. Is this a hamza? Is this a hamza? Not a hamza. Great. It is not a hamza. It is actually how the kaf is written. Okay. Very good. Thank you. So I want to make sure. Wow with the fatha. Wa. Hamza with the kasra. Ya with a shadda and a fatha on it. And then there's an alif after that. And then ka with a fatha. Wa iyaka.
Wa iyaka.
Nasta'inu. Nas noon with a fatha. Seen with a. What's on the scene? Sukoon. Very good. Nas. Ta with a fatha, ayn with a kasra, zayya, and then noon with a dhamma, nasta'inu.
Nasta'inu.
Okay. A question for you. What is on the ya here? Do you know what's on the ya? Right here. Sukoon, 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 sukoon. But nothing is written on. There's nothing there. What's on the alif? Okay. I see some good answers. To elongate the kasra. Is it tashkil on the previous letter? All right. Mashallah. Great. This is a important note about the Quran script that we're, you know, that we are trying to follow. Okay? That's an important note about the Quran script that we are following here. The note is as follows. The absence of a tashkil equals sukoon. Okay? And there is no tashkil on a letter in the Quran script that we are utilizing for our study. In that case, what is on that letter? It's a sukoon that's on that letter. Okay? There's a interesting situation that we are in the middle of. We are actually trying to understand the Quran. The Quran is written in a spelling that is almost 1400 years old. The spelling. Rasam Uthmani radiallahu anhu, 1300 and change. Okay? It's an ancient spelling. the spelling, the way the words are, that is part and parcel of the Quran script. It is non-negotiable. Then also we have the fonts of Arabic. We have this font that is predominantly used in, like I said, the Middle East. There is the font that is used predominantly in the subcontinent. Then there is the calligrapher who's using the font to write the script of the Quran. There's multiple layers of contributions made to this over the course of all the centuries that have passed. So there are some rules that are related to the rasm Uthmani, the spelling of the letters as Uthman radiallahu anhu spelled it. And there's others that pertain to the way the Quran is written in modern times, okay? Like the Kaf having this little thing in here. That's just that's the font, okay? That's the font that the calligrapher chose to write the Quran in. And like this absence of the absence of a tashkil referring to a sukoon. That is the calligrapher's way of telling you there's a sukoon here. And this sukoon is something, it plays a tajweed role. There's a tajweed implication, the Quran pronunciation implication that he is implying there, which we will see shortly. What happened if you use double ya instead of shadda? That's just not how the Arabs would spell it, right? Remember I said the spelling is from Uthman radiallahu anhu, okay? We don't have anything to say about the spelling. The way he spelled it is the way we spell it. But doesn't alif, waw, and ya prolong the sound? Good question. Brother Masool or Sister Masool, sorry, I can't tell from the name. Sister Masool, sorry about that. Does not the alif, waw, and ya prolong the sound? Excellent question. That leads us straight to our next discussion, which is vowels in Arabic. And I asked you, are there vowels in Arabic? We had a mixed bag of answers. Some people said yes, some people said no. The correct answer is there are vowels in Arabic. And the vowels in Arabic are three letters. Waw, alif, and ya. But do you notice something interesting about how I wrote them? MashaAllah. Many of you have correctly pointed out that there are sukoon on top of these waws and alifs and yas. Am I right? Excellent. So, this is the thing about vowels in Arabic. These are the three letters. Waw, alif, and ya. But they must have sukoon on it. So the vowel is waw with a sukoon. Alif with a sukoon. Ya with a sukoon. These are the three vowels in Arabic. Alright? And they serve a purpose. The purpose they serve is to extend the sound. Extend the sound. The length of, let's call it pronunciation, becomes 2 units. Alright? Let us see an example. You have jim with a fatha. Jim with a, what's on this? Fatha. Okay, that is 1 unit of pronunciation. You will read it as ja, correct? Now, I add an alif to this, alif with a sukoon. This becomes ja, 2 units of pronunciation. I have g. What's on the jim? Kasra, thank you. That is 1 unit. G. I put jim with a kasra and then after that a ya with the sukoon. G. G. That is 2 units. Jim with what on it? Jim with a dhamma. Very good. That is also 1 unit of pronunciation. This one with the Musa. Jim with a dhamma on it. That is also 1 unit of pronunciation. I add a dhamma and then I add my, I'm sorry, I take my dhamma and I add waw with a sukoon to it, it becomes ju, 2 units. Ja, ja, ji, ji, ju, ju. That is the purpose the vowels serve, to extend the sound. Okay, these are critical in our study of Arabic. I cannot tell you how important it is. There's obviously an overlap between study of Arabic grammar and study of tajweed. This overlap is actually like a very time-honored overlap. You know, for example, if you study a classical book of tajweed, they reference rules of grammar, Arabic grammar, when describing rules of tajweed, because that's just the way they understood it when they were writing it. So they're very much go hand in hand. Our concern isn't necessarily the tajweed. Our concern is the Arabic part of this. But we're also going to highlight things that will aid you in your reading of the Quran, because those two things are very closely attached. Question is, what happens if you add these vowels without sukoon? Do they become separate letter then? We will see, inshallah. The quick question, hold on to that. What is the purpose of Arabic vowel? So the purpose of Arabic vowel is different than the English vowel. Sister Hiba asks, and that is correct. These vowels have a grammatical purpose. Or these vowels serve a grammatical purpose or grammatical purposes, and also serve pronunciation purposes. Okay, extension of sound. So it's got very it's unique and it's different, and we're gonna study them as a standalone or by themselves. All right. Now let's look at our example from Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. All right, I want you to help me out with this. Okay, and you can help me out by typing 1 or 2. Ready? Yes? If you're ready, type 1. All right, very good. Thank you. إِيَّاكَ. Okay, so here is my first unit. E, that's 1 unit. Then I have the ya with a fatha and then an alif with a sukoon. How many units is that? 2. Excellent. 2 units. Ka with a fatha. How many units is that? 1. We're going to make, or not just, we're not, this is actually a tajweed thing. The sukoon is the absence of a sound. Correct? So, noon with the fatha joins the ayn with the sukoon. That is counted as 1 unit of pronunciation. Question from somebody. Why is the alif sukoon missing in the alif? Excellent question. The answer to this is the Quran script. The absence of a tashkeel. The absence of a tashkeel means it is the sukoon. All right? Make sense? This is how it's written. I have written it here with the sukoons, but eventually you will see them without any sukoon, like in this case. Make sense, inshallah? Okay, na is 1. So if we didn't know Fatiha and we read the Quran, how do we know the vowel rather than... So we will know it because there is a fatha, and then there is a alif without anything. We assume it's a sukoon. And that's how we know it's a vowel. Okay? Make sense? Inshallah. Good question. That's an excellent question. Ba with a dhamma. How many units? 1 or 2? 1 unit. Dal with a dhamma. How many units? 1 unit. Very good. Wa, how many units? MashaAllah, very nice. E, this joining part is 1 unit. Ya with a fatha followed by an alif with a sukoon. How many units is that? 2. Very good. Ka, how many units is that? What? Nas. One unit. Ta. One unit. Ri. Ain with the fatha, ya with the sukoon. Two. And then nu is one. Excellent. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. By the way, if you're in your Quran reading, if you can just do that, most of your Quran reading will be like solidly fixed. Most people unfortunately mess up on that. Let us take another example from the Quran here. Control copy or control open. Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33. Ayah number 70. This is an ayah you might have heard in khutbahs and whatnot. Okay. By the way, Quran.com is a great resource. We're going to utilize it for our study. We're also going to utilize Tanzeel.net for our study. Both of these are excellent online resources that we will be using throughout our course and beyond, inshallah. So you can bookmark them and you can utilize them on your own as well, bi-idhnillah. Okay, here we have a word. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Okay, this right here is an interesting little Quranic script peculiarity. This is a ya with a fatha followed by a little alif. Do you see that? Ya with a fatha followed by a little alif. Let me paste that here. Let me actually copy the whole thing. All right. In this one, do you notice this part? This part is actually like this. Ya with the fatha, followed by alif with the sukun. How many harakas is this? Or how many lengths of pronunciation is this? Two. Very good. Two units of pronunciation. Ya. The little alif. This little alif is like or exactly like the big alif with sukoon on it. Okay? That's what it is. This is just the way the Quran spelling is. All right? We just have to get used to it. I want to point it out so that you don't get lost, inshallah. This is the things that derail people's study when it comes to the Quran, by the way. Because there's these little peculiarities all over the place. That's just the byproduct of this being a century old, or not century, millennia old, a text using an ancient spelling. It's going to have these complications and peculiarities. That's where people get lost very often from my experience. I'm going to make sure, inshallah, you don't get lost. Okay, ya is two units of pronunciation. Ay is one. You, ya, the shadda, ya, the shadda on the ya with the dhamma on it is also one. Ha, ha with the fatha followed by an alif is, if you were just read it by itself,
ya ayyuha.
Ya ayyuha. Okay, you notice is two. Isn't a longer mad? Yes, that's tajweed, but we're ignoring tajweed. That's a tajweed thing. For us, it is two units of pronunciation. Now, here's another thing that happens that is part of tajweed, but its basis is in Arabic grammar, okay? And those two are you can't detach them. The letters join other letters. Their sound is joined by the tashkil. You see, in English, if I was to say, be mindful of God, each of these are individual words. Okay? But in Arabic, the word sound is literally joined to the other. How so? The ha, this fatha, actually goes and joins the lam with the shadda and the fatha on it. So it actually becomes hal-la. Hal-la. Then this lam has a fatha. This is tha with a kasra followed by a ya with a sukoon. How many units is that? That is 2 units. Noon with a fatha is 1 unit. All right. How many units? 2. Ma. 1. Now, nu by itself would be 2. Nu by itself would be 2, but what happens? It joins. Okay? It joins. Nutta is 1. Qu by itself would be 2. But it joins. Joins the word Allah. Amanuttaqullaha. Ha is how many? 1. Somebody asked an excellent question. Sorry, it scrolled past me. What is up with this alif? What is up with this alif? Oh boy. Hold on to that question. And also, what's up with this alif? There's 2 alifs here that are quite interesting. Hold on to that question. Let me just finish this part, inshallah. Wa, 1. Qu, how many units? Qu is 2. Lu is 2. Qaw. Qaw. Is it 2 or is it 1? It is actually 1. How so? This is a fatha. A fatha followed by a waw with a sukun. For it to be 2, it had to be a dhamma followed by a waw with a sukun. Does that make sense? You see, this was our example. The unit was extended. Jim with a fatha extended by alif with a sukun. Kasra extended by a ya with a sukun. Dhamma extended by waw with a sukun. But if it is another vowel that comes after it, the sound itself is not extended. Okay? Qaw is actually 1. Lan sadidan. Okay. Here is a few other things. This is something that we're going to come up and do in a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about, firstly, let's talk a little bit about our friend here, this alif. This alif that has a sukun on it. This is a spelling rule. You notice this alif that comes after this waw? This is a spelling rule, and this will become important and pertinent when we go and study verbs. Okay. For now, don't worry about it. Just we accept it as a tajweed or as a spelling rule for now. Okay. Likewise, this alif is also a spelling rule. The one that is after this waw. The interesting one for us is this guy. This alif with this little thingy on top. This alif with this little thingy on top. Okay, this alif with this little thingy on top. That is an interesting one. We will discuss this in a sec. And also for us, that's interesting is why is there an alif here? Qawlan, if you hear how he reads it.
Qawlan.
Qawlan. Qawlan. The next one he reads as?
Sadida.
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 There is a little bit of a difference here. What's going on? Let us go to the study of the concept of tanween. The study of the concept of the tanween. Because that is where a lot of these topics will start to come together. Okay. Sorry, where did it go? There we go. Sorry, I'm trying to find out where my screen's gone. There. The concept of tanween, it is a very unique concept in Arabic. The doubling of the fatha, the kasra, and the dhamma. That is what the tanween is. And what is fascinating about it is that this is not just like a tajweed thing. It's not just something that's read. It is actually a foundation, or it's an important foundational piece in Arabic grammar study. Okay, literally, tanween means to add a noon. What does it mean? To add a noon. What actually ends up happening is you added a noon with a sukoon sound. Okay, you've added sound to a letter. But this, it comes at the end of the word. Okay? Important. Tanween shows up at the end of the word only. Let's look at this. We have jim with a single fatha, ja. Jim with two fathas, jan. Pronounced like this, jan. Pronounced like jan. We have jim with a kasra, ji. Jim with two kasras, jin. Pronounced like this, jin. How many units is this, by the way? One. That's the correct answer. Okay? It's one unit of pronunciation. Ju. Make it a tanween. Two dhammas. This is how two dhammas are written, by the way, in Arabic. Or in this font that we're using. Jun. Okay, jun. This is the this is what we have for tanween. Let's go to the writing book and let's open the writing book on page number 97. So you look at this word, nutfatin. You have noon with a dhamma, ta with a sukoon. This becomes nut, one unit. Fa, one unit. Tin, one unit. This is a tanween, two kasras. Nutfatin. Okay. That is an example. Jim with two dhammas, jun. Jim with two dhammas is jun. All right. Let's go to another example. Our example that maybe is describing us. Miskeen. Get it? Miskeen is somebody who needs help. All right. So, somebody laughed at that joke. Thank you. Appreciate that. Miss, meem with us, kasra, seem with a sukoon. One unit. What letter is this? Randomly written this way. That's a kaf. Thank you. Kaf with a kasra, followed by ya with a sukoon. How many units is this? It is two units. Miss ki. Now you have noon with what's on the noon? Tanween. Tanween. You can say two fathas or tanween. I'm okay with either. Two fathas or tanween. Brother Farhan asks the question, why is there an alif at the end? Hold on to that thought, Brother Farhan. But miskinan, this nan is how much? Units of pronunciation? One. Remember, it's as if, don't, it's not a tajweed thing. We're not focusing on the tajweed. So it's just from the Arabic grammar. It's as if there's a noon sukoon added afterward, right? Nan. All right. Now, the question that was asked, which leads us to our next point, is what is up with the alif in miskinan here? What is up with the alif in qawlan? You see that? Lam followed by an alif. You know what is that?
Qawlan.
Correct?
You know qawlan.
And then you notice that there's an lam and alif, and then you have a dal and alif. Okay, why? Okay, spelling and reading rule. This is a spelling and reading rule. Only for two fathas does this apply, right? This, in other words, this only applies to for two fathas. All right. Which tanween does it only apply to? Which one? Tell me, folks, just to make sure that you're following. Which tanween does it apply to? Great. Two fathas. All right. Now, check this out. When you have two fathas, the spelling rule is you add an alif to the end. So I don't write jan like this. I write jan like that. Alif at the end. Okay, what I would do if I was showing you like this, alif like that. See? Jan becomes like that. That's the spelling rule. The other part is the pronunciation. Pronunciation would determine that this is really like one unit of pronunciation. However, for the two fathas only, the two pronunciation is two units when stopping. Okay, look at this. Notice the difference. You ready? Tell me the end sound of the two words if you notice a difference in the way it's pronounced. Okay? Sound number one.
Qawlan. Qawlan.
Sound number two.
Sadida.
Again, sound number two.
Sadida.
Do you notice a difference between the way the two ended? Do you notice the difference?
Qawlan.
Qawlan.
Sadida.
Sadida, right? He didn't pronounce it as sadidan. He pronounced it as sadida. Okay? This is not due to the alif, Brother Rezan, right? Or Reza? Not due to the alif. That's just the way it is. The spelling and the pronunciation are there. We're just trying to, the alif aids in us understanding it and implementing it. Now, if you were to stop, this is done, I add an alif to it, because that's the spelling rule, right here. When I stop on this, and I'm like stopping my recitation of Quran, I take away one of the two fathas. So instead of having two fathas, I have one fatha. What is the unit of pronunciation of this? Dal with the fatha followed by alif with the sukoon, folks. two, right? This only applies for when the tanween is for two fathas. This is a spelling rule and a reading rule. It doesn't have anything to do with grammar, okay? Our Arabic grammar is separate from it. But because the words are so closely, like the words are inseparable, and our goal is to ultimately take all this and understand the Quran, we have to, I have to point out these little subtleties, okay? Now, here is the version that we need to understand. Not the tajweed version, just this is the version that we need to understand to be able to read the ayah and to be able to take our understanding of Quran or our understanding of Arabic and apply to it. The spelling is different when you have two fathas. Okay? Two fathas, the spelling is different. What is the difference? An alif is added to the end. Okay? Just please wait for a second here. Alif and added to the end. The second is the pronunciation. Unlike other two dhammas and two kasras, the a sound is added when you stop at it. The best way to look at this is look at a few examples. Okay, let me explain to you through example this particular aspect. All right, look at this. What is on the qaf? A dhamma is on the qaf, followed by a lam with a sukoon. That is one unit. Qul.
Qul.
Hu, one unit. Wa, one unit. But it joins Allah here. Huwallahu. The word Allah we'll study later because it's got some more complications. All right. But for our purposes right now, this hu is one unit. What letter is this one? Hamza with a fatha. One unit of pronunciation. Ah. So whenever we have Hamza, we say it's Hamza, not Alif, Mr. Halima. We say this is a Hamza. All right. Ha with a fatha. Unit of pronunciation. Says one. Ha is one. Now check out how this is pronounced.
Ahad.
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 Notice when he stops on it. This is Quran reading rule, by the way. Quran reading rule. When he stops on this, he, the Qari, replaces this as if like there's nothing here. Ahad. As if there's a sukoon here. All right? This is different. This is different than this word right here. This is tanween, correct? This dal has tanween. Which tanween does this dal have? Two dhammas. Very good. Look at how he stops at two dhammas.
Ahad.
Ahad. How many tanmeens or what tanmeen does this word have? Okay, let's follow the example with me here, all right? Let's start at, let's put three examples here. Ready? Example number one. Two dhammas. Let's go back here. Two dhammas. Notice how the spelling and the stopping. The spelling, no extra alif. The stopping,
ahad.
Did you notice that? I hope you did. This one, what does it have? Two fathas. The spelling, does it have an alif? Yes. When you stop on this, when you're reading, this is the end of the ayah, you stop on it, look at how you stop.
Sadida.
Sadida. Not Sadid, like Ahad, but Sadida. And in fact, it is two units because it's a fatha followed by an alif with a sukun. Look at this. This actually is two kasras. This is two kasras. Now, check out how he reads this. Two kasras, spelling. Is there an alif? No alif. When he reads, check out how he reads.
Khawf.
Khawf. Did he read it as a? No, right? He stops at it. Khawf. That is the point. Okay? This is the point of highlighting this out for you. That in the tanween, which is two fathas, two kasras, and two dhammas, there is an extra added peculiarity, which is a spelling and a reading rule. Only applies to the two fathas. That is that when you have two fathas, you add an alif and you read it like this when you stop. Ja, da, like that. That is the summary of what we are trying to get to. Okay? Let's look at a few more examples to drive home this point. This is, again, important pieces of information to set our base for studying Arabic properly. How come some read it as sadidan and not say that? So people can read it right or wrong. It doesn't matter, right? If they're continuing their recitation, they're not stopping. If they're not stopping, then it's just qawlan. Remember, this is when you stop.
Qawlan.
He's not stopping here, he's continue. But here he's stopping.
Sadida.
So now he says Sadida. Thank you, Brother Razan. Excellent question. Barakallahu fik. Now, we get to this. Let's look at our Surah Ikhlas. Allahu Samad. Notice how the ha, there is a alif here with a random thing on it. And there's another alif here with a random thing on it. And when I read it, I add a fatha here that's not written. Do you notice that? Allahu Samad. Now, that is an interesting thing to notice. Hussamad, the ha, the dhamma joins the sad. The sad has a shadda with a fatha, sa, ma with a fatha, one haraka, dal with a sukun. Okay. Lam, one unit. Ya, one unit. Lam with a kasra followed by dal, one unit. Maybe you go back to my annotations. Ya, and then lid. How much is wa? One or two, folks. Thank you. One. Lam. One or two. One again. You. Two. Excellent. Dhamma, followed by wa with the sukun. Two. Led. One. Very good. Jazakumullah khairan. What lam yalid wa lam yulad? Wa is one. Lam is one. Ya, it's one. Now this dhamma will skip the noon and join the lam with the shadda. Okay? Kul. Kun becomes kul. Sorry. Kul. This kul is one. And then the fatha on the lam that's above the shadda is also one. Alright? Who is technically, for tajweed purposes, this little wow is Tajweed reasons why is two. But for Arabic grammar hat on, Arabic grammar hat, this who is really one haraka. Lam yakun lahu, not wrong, it's not precise. Okay? It's not like the pronunciation or the recitation of Quran is more sacred than reading Arabic text. If you were to read Arabic text, you could say yakun lahu, no problem, right? But in Quran, more appropriate to say yakun lahu. Okay? Ku, one haraka. How much is the fu? But there's a wow afterwards. Why not two? Ah, this wow doesn't have sukoon, so does not extend the sound. Thank you. Jazakumullah khairan. Fu is one. And now notice, what is this right here? This guy right here. Tanween. Two fathas. The two things that we're looking for is there's an alif. Notice that. Spelling. Pronunciation, if you were to stop, it will be a. But we're not stopping, so that doesn't count. All right? We're not stopping. Notice he doesn't stop.
Kufu one.
Kufu.
Kufu one. Kufu one.
You see that? He didn't stop. So that's okay. The second part of the rule here, this one, two units when stopping. Only when stopping. Only when stopping. We're not stopping, so irrelevant. Now, one here would be how many units? One. Thank you very much. Kufu.
Kufu one.
Kufu one. He's saying kufu one.
Kufu one.
All right. Then you have Hamza. Or is it an alif? What is this letter? Hamza, right? Good. How many harakat? How many units? One. Ha. What does the ha have on it? Fatha. Thank you. One unit as well. All right. That is a summary of what we have. Is it? It's for tajweed. Yes, the meme on this dal is for tajweed. Correct. There is a lot of tajweed built into the calligraphy on the Quran. That's why we have to talk about it even more. All right. That brings us to the end of our discussion of tanween. A good, fruitful discussion, I hope. Now, here we have the last thing that we'll cover for today. Okay, and this is going to be like ending with a bang because this is a complicated situation. Okay, tanween, we finished. Shadda, we finished. Vowels, we finished. Now, one of the true false questions was, there is another type of Hamza in Arabic. And we said, that is true. And as we have seen throughout our study of Quran, there are these random alifs with these random things on them. What's up with this? What's with this? Those stuff. That, folks, right there, that's not a very good circle. That right there, and that right there, folks, is what is called Hamzatul Wasl. The other Hamza. Right? Sounds so nefarious. The other Hamza. It's a complex creature. But we'll summarize. Okay? Hamzatul Wasl is literally the connecting Hamza. That's what it means literally in if you were to translate it. The connecting Hamza. By the way, this is a very good resource on Hamzatul Wasl. If you were to open it and read it, you will find excellent content from a tajweed perspective. And as the author of this article acknowledges, that this is a tough thing to do, if you don't know tajweed, if you don't know Arabic grammar. Okay, so once you know Arabic grammar, understanding the rules of tajweed will become easier, inshallah. But he explains with many examples. I think it's worth your while to read it. I will take from this what's applicable to us right now. And then this particular Hamza will keep coming again and again. And you will learn to love him. Okay? You will learn to love him. It's an extra Hamza. What is it? Literally means the connecting Hamza. What is it actually? It is an extra Hamza at the beginning of the word that is the following. Sounded when starting a word. This Hamza, this extra Hamza is sounded, or maybe pronounced is a better thing here, when starting a word, and dropped when continuing from a previous letter with tashkeel. Let's take an example. Okay, here is, if I was to add alif and lam, this is a very, very important thing in Arabic. Al. Okay, but the reality of it is that the lam has a sukoon and the alif has a sukoon. What is the difference between short fatha and long fatha? But Musa, I don't. Can you ask the question maybe in a little bit? Inshallah, I want to finish this topic if you don't mind. And also, by the way, we have a tutorial on Saturday. The tutorial's purpose is the questions that are on your mind that, like, maybe I didn't address. That is what we want to keep the tutorial for. It's open QA about whatever we've covered. That's what we're doing, along with some basic examples. If that's okay, inshallah. Brother Musa, is that fine? Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much. Now, this is a problem. You cannot pronounce this the way it is constructed, because it's starting with a sukoon. Remember, the sukoon is the absence of the sound. You can't actually pronounce the sound if it's not there. So the fatha is added. It is pronounced when started. Al-qamari. Al-qamari. But if I am continuing from a previous letter with a tashkeel, like a fatha, if I'm continuing from a previous letter, this alif is all together skipped. This hamzatul wasl, which is sitting on an alif, is all together skipped. And this is pronounced, how so? Wal qamari. Not wa al qamari. It's pronounced as wal qamari. Okay, this is al qamari. This is wal qamari. Not wa al qamari. Okay, absolutely not. That is what hamzatul wasl in its essence is. Pronounced when starting a word, dropped when continuing from a previous letter in tashkeel. Okay? That's why, for example, you look at this word. Is there a letter before it? Is there? Nothing, right? Are you starting here? Right, you're starting here, right? That's why it is
Allahu.
Allahu. Now, if I was starting here as well, if I was starting here as well, this would be
Al-Samad. Al-Samad.
Do you see that? However, when I am reading like this and joining this guy to this guy, there is a previous letter with tashkeel. There's a previous letter with tashkeel. in that instance, in that case, what I will do is the following.
Allahu Samad.
Did you hear that?
Allahu Samad. Allahu Samad. Allahu Samad.
Allahu Samad. It's as if it's not even there. You would ignore it. Pronounced when starting. Allah. Dropped when continuing. Allahu Samad. Hussamad. When the previous letter has a tashkeel. This is Hamzatul Wasl. Alright? Interesting things about it. It's needed because you can't start something with a sukoon. That's why it's needed. Okay, that's the reason for it. And this will come and present itself and re-emerge, you know, with a new, with a reinvigorated power when we study verbs and fi'ls, okay? That's when you'll be like, wait, I don't have a tashkeel on this word. I don't have a fatha, dhamma, kasra on this word. How do I start reading this word? That's when it's going to come and we'll learn this more and more there. Note how it is written. Okay? Note how it is written, folks. Let us take an example. Like this. You see that? It's like, one of my teachers said, it's like a fish, you know, like a dead fish or something. A fish's head is like on this alif. Okay? I don't know what to say when he said that. I was like, okay, that's how I remembered it. fish head, yes. So there's an alif, and above that is this little fish head. Okay? That is how it's written. And that is why when we were browsing through ayat of Quran, that is what was coming up here. You see that? This right here, Hamzatul Wasl. If I was to read it, joining it, notice how what happens.
Ya ayyuhal ladhi.
Ayyuhal. Did you notice that?
Ayyuhal ladhina amanu.
But if I want to just read it by itself, starting.
Al-ladhina. Tuhal-ladhina.
Do you notice how it really plays out itself? It is right here. It's right here. It's right here. These are all the Hamzatul Wasls. All right. Hamzatul Wasl's ruling changes according to the type of words you're dealing with. That is a very interesting thing. Okay. As you'll see, there are three categories of words in Arabic. We will learn this, inshallah, soon. There is a ism, there's a fi'il, there's a harf. We're not going to do this week, unfortunately. We're going to do it next week. And Hamzatul Wasl, whether it takes a fatha, or it takes a kasra, or it takes a dhamma, that ruling changes depending on which type of words you're dealing with. That's why I said to you, this is a complex creature, guys. Okay? it has different rules for each category. Alright, this is Hamzatul Wasl for us. Let us look at examples. We've looked at Surah Ikhlas quite a bit already. Allahu Samad, we looked at this. Let's look at something else. Let's look at, Surah Quraysh. Okay, this is a good one to look at to apply everything that we've kind of learned today. Okay, this Surah Quraysh, very beautiful Surah. What is the first letter here, folks? I need you to participate and we'll end, inshallah, on a good note. Bi'idhnillah. What is the first letter here? Lam. Excellent. What does the lam have? What tashkeel does the lam have? The lam has a kasra. Very good. And the length, the unit of pronunciation is? 1 unit. Li. All right. What's the next letter? The next letter is a hamza. Correct. This little guy right here. You know, is that? Hamza. What does the hamza have? What tashkil? Hamza has, as people are pointing out very correctly, kasra. What comes after the hamza? What is this letter? It's a ya. Ya with a what on it? Ya with a sukoon. Ya with a sukoon. All right. So that's great. We have li, kasra, and then ya with a sukoon. How many harakat is this? How many units is this? 2. Excellent. Lam. Correct? With the fatha. What is after lam with the fatha? What's this guy? This little guy right here. This is the little alif. Do you remember the little alif? He's small in size, but he's big. He's got a big attitude, mashallah. The little alif is the same as the big alif with the sukoon on it. Remember that, folks? Yeah? Okay. So then this is actually a big alif. Little alif is really the big alif. So now this is how many units? 2 units. Because this is a lam with a fatha followed by alif with a sukoon. Right? That's what this is. Li-i-la fi. Fi is how many units? 1. Check this out. Look at how it reads it.
Li-i-la fi.
Li-i-la fi.
Li-i-la fi.
What is that? How distinct the 2 units are? Did you notice that?
Li-i-la fi.
Great. Qu, qaf with a dhamma. 1 unit. What is ra with the fatha? Followed by ya with the sukoon. How many units is this? 2. So if I have ra with a fatha, followed by an alif, that's 2 units. If I have ra with a kasra followed by ya with a sukoon, that is 2 units. If I have ra with a dhamma followed by waw with a sukoon, that is also 2 units. But this is ra with the fatha followed by ya with a sukoon. Followed by ya with a sukoon. So it is actually 1. Yeah. Do you get that now? Right? That's why. It's not the raish. Shin. What is this? What is this? Tanween. With tanween. Perfect. The 2 kasras. Very, very good. Jazakumullah khairan. Excellent. Let's go to the next part. The next ayah. We have a minute, inshallah. All right. Let's actually go to this ayah. Fal one, ya one, ba with a dhamma one, dal with a dhamma followed by a waw. What is that? It is ya'budu two. Ra with a fatha. What is on the ba? Shadda with a fatha. Very good. This is actually rab is one sound, and then ba is another sound. Remember, shadda is the doubling of the letter. Rabba. Listen to this. Listen to how he pronounced it.
Rabba.
See that?
Rabba.
Rabba. All right. Then we have ha with a fatha, followed by this little guy. Who's this little guy again? Little alif, who is really a big alif. This is what it is actually, right? Big alif with sukun. So how many harakat is this? How many units is this? Two. Ha. This the will skip this alif. Skip the hamzatul wasl and join the lam. Dhal. Ha. Zal. It's as if it's written like this. Zal. Ha zal. Ba with a fatha followed by a ya with a sukun. Last one for the day, folks. Bay. Bay. Exactly. Correct? If it's ba. If it's ba with a fatha followed by an alif, it is two. Ba with a dhamma followed by a waw, it is two. See, the waw and the dhamma look the same. Ba with a kasra followed by a ya, that's two. But this is ba with a fatha, but not an alif. It is actually a ya, so it's not going to be two. It's going to be one. All right. So that, my friends, is the lesson for today. Alhamdulillah, we covered, as a quick summary of what we have done, we covered Hamzatul Wasl. We discussed why this is the connecting Hamza is needed. It's pronounced when you start a word, dropped if you're continuing from a previous word. It is something that is written in a peculiar manner, and we have seen how it appears multiple times in the Quran. Okay? And it will come again and again in our study. We spoke about Tanween, unique concept. Tanween is two fathas, two dhammas, two kasras. It is to add the noon sound. It's adding the noon sound. And there is, this is very critical in our study of Arabic grammar, by the way. There is, for the two fathas, there is a special spelling and reading rule that we spoke about, which is spelling, add an extra alif, pronunciation, two units, when you stop. The way you stop on it is different. Okay? Then, we also discussed the vowels in Arabic. This is vowel with a sukun, alif with a sukun, ya with a sukun. They must have sukun on it. They serve to extend the sound. Okay, ja becomes ja, g becomes g, ju becomes ju. Okay, we also looked at and recapped the entirety of the tashkil, the fatha, the kasra, the dhamma, sukun, and of course the tashkil, which is the doubling of the letter. Okay, that was the lesson for today, folks. Walillahi alhamd, jazakumullah khairan. Saturday, the tutorials on the same time as our lecture, inshallah. It will be on the same time, but it's on Saturday. And that's the time where other questions that you may have, you should ask, bi'idhnillah. We'll do some more examples from the Quran, And the tutorial, just FYI, like, because we're in the beginning of our study, so we don't have that much content. We only have a few things to cover, right? Sorry, one second. There's a lot of noise. Sorry about that. So there's a lot of things to cover when it comes to later on. That's when the tutorial is going to be full of examples and questions. Right now, the tutorial might actually be a little shorter than an hour and a half, as long as we get through our Q&A and some of the examples, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Same time on Saturday. I hope to see you there. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you all for participating. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's lovely.